again, thank you for coming. We're going to read again in the Gospel of John this time, John's Gospel in chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. John chapter 5, this is one of those beautiful gospel verses of our Bible. There are many, many of them. And here is one of them, a gospel gem. So John chapter 5, verse 24, the Lord Jesus is the speaker and he says, "Verily, verily," or it's just an older way of saying, "Assuredly, this is true, this is solemn, it is worth listening to, you should listen to it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You might think, well, that's an odd thing. There must be a typo in the Bible. Is passed from death unto life? Something wrong in the Bible? No one passes from death to life. Everyone passes from life to death, but it's not a typo. This is the marvel of the gospel. This is what is possible because of the one that we've been asked to consider tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can actually pass backwards. You see, the old saying goes, any dead fish can float with the stream. The stream just takes them, and that's what happens naturally speaking. We just go downward. The way the stream of life, the course of this world goes, we go from life to death. But the other side of the old saying is it takes one with life to swim against the stream. Now, this is going backwards. This is not going from life to death in weakness. This is going from death backwards to life. What characterizes a dead person? No strength, no heartbeat, no life, defeat, sorrow. What characterizes someone that's full of life? Energy, strength, enjoyment. You see, the Savior is talking not about physical life so much, he's talking about spiritual life. And while we live in bodies that are dying, bodies that are getting weaker, bodies that are not what we used to be, there is something that can defy the course of human nature and the course of this world and the normal course of events going. Brody mentioned age and so on and getting older. There's something that can defy all of that, going from death to life, from defeat, from a lack of strength to energy and enjoyment. You say, well, this is very interesting. Is that something that I could experience? Yes, it's something that you can experience. So Lord Jesus then is the speaker of these wonderful words. He says, the person who hears my word, and it's not just enough to hear it, it's not just enough to consider him as we've been hearing. That's where it all begins, to consider where we are going and to consider our ways and to consider Christ. But there's a response that must come. He that hears my word, the Lord Jesus said, and believes on him that sent me. So the word of Christ, what he said, the written word of God, which is on par with the spoken word of Christ, that is something that would lead us to the correct response, to follow what the word of God says, to follow what the Lord Jesus said, to listen to him, to follow the course of that through. We would ultimately be led to put our faith in the God that sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross. The God who punished the Lord Jesus so that we could go free. It's he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Then the results come. There are three big results. He says, what we've been hearing about in the first part of the meeting, they presently have everlasting life. I didn't say that. I'm only echoing it. The Savior said that. He knew what he could do. He knew what God wanted and what God could do. They have everlasting life. The person who hears, they said, yes, that has a ring of truth about it. I'm going to respond to this. Is a response to God, to believe God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe God, to rest upon his word. Number one, they have everlasting life. It's not 50 years of life, not physical life. It's everlasting life. It's a life you can't lose. It's a life that never ends. It's a life that extends beyond the funeral home. It's a life that goes on and on through the portal of death into another life that is wonderful. It is the very quality of the life of the place where God dwells. They have everlasting life. You see, this is worth listening to. If we came tonight and we brought to you a pen, we don't use a pen very often. I was using one just a minute ago, and it was kind of a cheap pen. I got it in a package with something else, and it writes kind of nice, so I stuck it in my little Bible bag. But the refill is going in and out. I don't know, something mechanically wrong with just a cheap pen. Pens don't last forever. And back in the days when we used to use pens all the time, what would happen? They would run out. Suppose I came to my 1988 self writing high school exams and said, here's a pen that will never run out. The ink will always be there. It's everlasting. You say, boy, you'd be onto something. A little late now, but you would be onto something then. It would be worth listening to. There would be a market for that. You know what amazes me? In a world where people die, where people are without strength, where people are constantly feeling the guilt and the effects of sin and defeat, have no victory over sin, want to stop certain habits, want to stop certain sins, they don't have peace. It amazes me that a message like this often does not have a foothold in the mind. It never gets traction. There's no ear to hear. I wonder if there's someone here tonight. It's not an everlasting pen. That you can have everlasting life. I wonder if there's an ear for that. That's effect number one. But there's another one. He says, not only do they have everlasting life, but he says, they will never come in to the condemnation, to the judgment. You say, well, yeah, that's kind of, I kind of understand that. I kind of have this concept of God, that he's kind of this rich God who is out of touch, and he's kind of cranky, and someday he's just going to judge this world because he doesn't really like anybody here. No, that's not what we hear when we come to the Bible. When we hear the word of God, when we hear the words of the Lord Jesus, we find out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. No, it is not God's desire that you would come into the judgment, that you would be punished for your sins. You see, it's not the sins of the whole world that you need to be worried about. It's just your little piece of it. It's just the things you have done. You see, God doesn't look at a world. We look at a crowd sometimes, and we think there's a massive crowd here. I don't like crowds. I don't want to be here. And we just see a sea of faces. But God looks at individual people. He looks into individual hearts. He looks at the past. He looks at the present. He looks at the condition of every single person, and he is intimately interested in you. Do you ever develop a really nice relationship, a friendship, or maybe something of a more intimate fashion with someone? And the most special times you will ever have is not when you're talking to them and they're on the phone and they're scrolling and they're looking around out at all the cars and husbands sometimes, you know, my wife says I look at tractors and other people look at cars and some people look at motorbikes and some people look at scenery and they're not really focused on the people that are with them. And it's not a quality relationship where there's no focus, when there's no interest that is personal. The best times with anybody in any kind of a relationship is when the focus is one-on-one. And there's an intimate interest. And there's a connection. And you sense the person really cares about me. The person really wants to be with me. The person really likes me. They respect me. They want me. They love me. This person wants to do something for me. You see, that's how God is looking at you. He's really interested in you. He really wants you. He really loves you. He doesn't want to take anything from you except for your sin. He wants to bless you. He wants to be kind to you. He wants all the goodness and all of his power to begin to work for you. God is interested tonight, not in a sea of faces, but he is interested in individual hearts. He wants the inside. He wants who you are. He's not so much interested in your body, whether you are tall or short or overweight or underweight, or whether you've got freckles. I have freckles. I hated freckles as a kid. But God didn't care so much that I had freckles. God doesn't it doesn't matter to him that my hair is gone. God sees me for who I am, and he loves me, who I am. Now, just a minute. Now, that doesn't mean he likes everything we do. That's where the separation and the punishment for sin comes in. Because every single one of us are constantly committing sins that are an offense to God. And when it says, he that hears my word and their confidence is in God, they rest upon God's word, they consider him, they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they, number one, have everlasting life. Secondly, they will never come into the condemnation. They will never be judged for their sins. You say, well, it kind of sounds like in Monopoly Money. I don't know if everybody here has ever played Monopoly Money. I just can't. I've played it a few times, but I just kind of resist getting into the game because I know it's going to be 4 or 5 hours and you're probably just going to end up frustrated and greedy and not like the other people that's throwing you under the bus. Oh, no, that's not what we're talking about tonight. It's... And in Monopoly Money, there's a get-out-of-jail card free, right? Well, this is kind of like that, but it's not just that. Every single sin had to be dealt with righteously. God had to be satisfied that every single sin I ever committed, you ever committed, every murderer has ever committed, every fornicator has ever committed, every liar has ever committed, every thief has ever committed, every single sin had to be dealt with righteously. If God's going to deal with one sin, maybe you think I've got some sins and they're not as bad as somebody else's. I haven't killed anybody and I don't really hate anybody. And so therefore, I can see that my sins can be forgiven. But the serial killer, I can't see that he could be forgiven. His sins are too much. Says who? Who is the judge anyway? God is. God is the judge. God is the one who decides what every sin deserves. And God, if he's going to forgive one sin, the simple sin of hatred or lying or something simple like that, then he has to provide a salvation that is fair and equal. If he's going to forgive me for telling a lie, he has to forgive the son of sin, David Blazevich, who was a serial killer in the U.S. who is now saved, conscious of this from the word of God, my sins are forgiven. He doesn't even want it in jail. He knows he's not worthy of it. He's doing his time. He can never pay back what he has done. But he found this out, that the Lord Jesus died for the sin of murder, the same as he died for the sin of lying. And his sins are forgiven. And all he wants to do is tell other people in the prison where he is, maximum security, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a savior of sinners. He died for them, and they can be forgiven. And he's preaching every day to people. And for all the sins that I have committed, I know that God treats sin equally. And sins must be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. The Father sent him to die on Calvary's cross, to bear the weight, to take responsibility for all sins. so that even if only one sinner ever took it, then God says it would be worthwhile sending my son. I love them so much. You may think your sin is not as bad as someone else, but you don't see sin the way God sees it. You see, our granddaughter was staying with us for a few days. Sometimes she doesn't see things the same way as Grandma does, and especially Grandpa. Grandpa sees things a little bit different. I know I should be all soft, but there's certain things that I think she has to be made to mind even when her parents are not there. Harsh Grandpa, aren't I? She don't see things the same as, she doesn't see it the same as I do. And I came close to sending her to her room for something she didn't want to do. Don't tell her parents now. But it's true. And just the same, God does not see sin the same as you do. And what you and I need to do is to try to come to the Bible. He that hears my word, and try to see sin the way God sees it. And the Bible says all have sinned. And the Bible says the soul that sins, it must die. That's why it's so precious that the Lord Jesus came from heaven and he died. He was taking the sinner's place. What the sinner deserved, he took. He went through. He suffered in the place of the sinner. So that the second effect of this wonderful salvation, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life. They presently possess it. Effect number one. Effect number two, they will never come into the judgment. Why? Because God is not interested in punishing any sinner for their sins, even once. He's certainly not going to do it twice. And if we rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept that God is telling the truth, that he died in my place, God says, that's enough. Payment has been made. I can let the sinner go free. They will never come in to the condemnation. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. It's righteous in the eyes of God because sin was punished and dealt with once when the Lord Jesus died on the cross. And God the judge says, that's enough. So that he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, understanding and accepting what God is doing, what God wants to do with you, that one-on-one relationship, that one-on-one attention that God has given you, he wants you to understand you can have everlasting life presently, that you can be removed, have the condemnation, the judgment all removed, the punishment dealt with, and you are at peace. You are free. You will never be in hell. You see, there's nothing you can do to undo the effect of sin. You say, well, you mean baptism means nothing that he mentioned? What would that do? You go down wet, dry, and you come up wet. Or you're dry 1 minute and you get some water sprinkled and you're wet and your head's wet in a few minutes. Like, what can that do? It's in the Bible, baptism by immersion, but it does nothing to save. It takes what the Lord Jesus did, his death, all of it. All of us suffering to pay for sins. What I do cannot pay for sins. You say, well, what if I'm a good neighbor? We should be that anyway. That's what the law teaches. We can't do it all the time. Do you ever see a glow on the horizon in the direction of your house? I have. Certain nights, there's just a certain glow. And I thought, when you're coming through Dunblane, sometimes you can look over and you see the lights and I think, you know, it would be an awful thing if the flames were reaching over the trees and it was my house. I should wish it was my house, shouldn't I? If I really loved my neighbor? Well, we don't think that way, do we? We can't keep the law. We can't be a good enough neighbor to satisfy God, to undo sins. You say, well, going to church, wouldn't that do it? Join a religion, join a church. That would put your name on a membership. It would support a church, but that doesn't save. We're not here to try to get you to join a church. We're here to tell you that God wants to do something for you. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in your stead so that you can have everlasting life and you will never come into the judgment. So there's two effects. And then this that we began with, effect number three, that you can pass over from death to life, because the Bible teaches us that when sin entered into the world, we were spiritually dead. Adam and Eve died spiritually. No response to God. You can say prayers, but without everlasting life, you can't enjoy the same thing God enjoys. Do you ever try to just get really excited about something that someone else is excited about? And you just can't do it. Imagine Daryl. He's excited about cars. We're picking on him tonight, Brody and I both, but he's good for it. He likes cars. He fixes cars. He paints cars. I have yet to see Daryl really interested in the color someone is painting their walls and hanging their curtains and what kind of ornaments they have in the shelf. He's just not interested in it. Do you think that you would enjoy heaven if you somehow got there without the life to enjoy it? You wouldn't enjoy heaven. You have no common interest with God. You would not enjoy the singing of a place where everyone is singing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. If you don't even know he did that for you, you'd be singing for someone else, but not for you. You'd be wanting to sing your song. I'm here because I joined a church. I'm here because I was a good person. I'm here because I was baptized. There's no songs like that in heaven. The song of heaven is all about him. Consider him. God wants us ever to consider him, that our focus eternally will be on the one who died for me to save me from my sins, who took my place so that I can have everlasting life. So these three things could be yours. You just hear the word of God, believe on him that sent me, put your confidence in what God is saying, and consider him, and you can have everlasting life. You will never come into the judgment, and you would pass from death to life. God would give you the life to enjoy the same things as him. God would give you the life that would enable you to enjoy relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you would, for all eternity, consider him and thank him for what he did for you. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Indeed, we would do well tonight to consider the latter end and to consider our ways. The end for any sinner who is not saved, who never trusts the Lord Jesus, can only be hell. How different for the person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, having confidence in what he has done and the word of God. So different. But oh, to consider our ways and what the Bible says with our sin outstanding before God. How awful to go through life that way and then to enter into eternity still facing sin and the judgment for sin. We thank thee the Lord Jesus took it for us, so that there are those of us tonight that we have been freed from the punishment of our sins. And we would just tonight, as we have been exhorted to do, consider him who died on the cross, who died for me. How wonderful. We would thank thee that we will have the privilege, not just tonight, but forever, of looking at him and thinking about him and thanking him and worshiping him. It's all about him. And so we return thanks for what he has done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.